We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio2022. That's RVRADIO2022. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Now, without further ado, here's the latest edition of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy May to you. We are in May. It is May 2nd, 2023. The NFL draft is behind us, and we are busy getting ready for not only FFPC Rookie Draft, Fantasy Pros Championship, FFPC Main Event, the FFPC Best Ball Tournament, the Superflex Best Ball Tournament. It's all coming together. And now that we have the draft behind us, I think things are going to stabilize, at least for a little bit, until training camp. Welcome into the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. I am your host, Eric Balkman, at Eric Balkman on Twitter, from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network, and, of course, the FFPC. Before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on at the FFPC currently. Kind of teased a little bit. We have just a handful of Dynasty Orphans left right now. I think one of them is selling for $25. The rest are all $1. So you can play year-round fantasy football with the FFPC at myffpc.com right now when you pick up one of those Dynasty Orphans that are still out there. If you want to play a Maiden Dynasty Startup Draft, we have those going on as well. In fact, we got a bunch launching tomorrow. We have leagues starting at the $100 level all the way up to the $5,000 level. I know one of the startups is off and running already at the $5,000 level. So check that out at myffpc.com if you want to play Dynasty Fantasy Football. You can also, this is exciting, our $350 tournament, for the first time ever, the Fantasy Pros Championship is going to be offering a $1 million grand prize. $1 million if you win. And it's only $350 to enter. It's like we always say, can you afford not to play in this competition? It's going to be a lot of fun. Those drafts have already been going on. We got a bunch more going off this week. Slow drafts, 2-hour clocks, 6-hour clocks, and, of course, the standard 60-second timers. That's all at myffpc.com. And the early bird promo is going on right now. If you register by June 1st and draft by June 15th, you're going to get a free FFPC $35 league credit into your account, which is something that you can get up to three times. So if you do that three times, you get your $50 hookup on the third Fantasy Pros team. Then you can also get three free $35 team credits at myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment, share, and get notified of everything we have going on at the FFPC YouTube channel. Got a ton of stuff going on this week. We got live Genesis and Revelations coverage coming up on Friday night. We got the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show with Pat Fitzmaurice and me from Fantasy Pros coming up on Thursday night. And of course, Dave Tripoli and Aiden LaCorey are doing live FFPC best ball tournament coverage on Sunday night. So we are in full midseason mode, and who better to get us going on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown for the month of May than a guy who has won a dozen high stakes fantasy football league titles with the FFPC, and somebody who's prepping for his many, many rookie drafts coming up with the FFPC this coming weekend. Please welcome back onto the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, Mr. Brian Valente. Brian, welcome in, man. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, Balky. Good to see you. It's been a while. I like your beard. You're looking good.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to have to shave it one of these days. You know, the thing is, the winter in Wisconsin lasts about 11 and a half months, but we're coming up on that one half month where it's going to get pretty uncomfortable. So yeah, at some point it's going to be gone. Thank you though. I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tonight, Brian and I are going to talk about how high Anthony Richardson should be going in non-superflex rookie drafts, how to handle the conundrum that is the Seattle backfield, and much more. Let's get into it right away, Brian. You're 102. This is something when I was watching the draft on Thursday night and I saw Jahmyr Gibbs go to the Lions at 112, my immediate thought was, oh, okay, now is he the 102 in drafts? Because I had Jaxon Smith-Njigba pre-draft in there as the 102 behind Bijan Robinson, and then Smith-Njigba doesn't go until the 20th overall pick to Seattle. Who is your 102? Is it Gibbs or is it Smith-Njigba or somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, I was right in there with you. I've got a draft coming this weekend where I have the 102, and I've been getting offers, fielding offers on it to move down, and didn't really want to do that to go to the four. So I think it's got to be Gibbs at this point. The draft capital that Detroit used, I mean, it's pretty amazing how much Detroit did not like DeAndre Swift. You know, he was one of my favorites, but obviously there was something wrong within the personality, or it didn't fit the mold that they were looking for. And you could even see it in Hard Knocks when they showed some of the footage, the way they treated him and the way they thought of him, it kind of came out. And so it wasn't surprising. I think it was very surprising that, you know, that he went 12 though. Not many people had him going up that high. With that capital, you have to put him at the 1-2, I think.
Does he get anywhere close to Bijan Robinson, or is he still a couple of tiers down for you?
He's a couple tiers down for me, okay. Definitely. Yeah, Bijan's in his own world.
Yes.
You know?
So let me talk about Smith-Njigba here with you for a little bit. How far does this guy, do you think, tumble in rookie drafts for you? Because not only was he, not only did he go after Jahmyr Gibbs, but he didn't go until the 20th overall pick, a scenario that I think a lot of people didn't envision. Are you down on Smith-Njigba now, or are we overrating his landing spot?
I think we're overrating the landing spot. I mean, you have Tyler Lockett there. I don't, you know, maybe he'll last next season, and Njigba can learn from him and then take over that spot. And I just think there's too much talent there, and it was pretty clear cut that, you know, he was the first wide receiver for me, at least on the board. So he moved from 1-2 to 1-3 for me.
Okay. So he didn't fall that far for you.
No.
Still your top ranked receiver.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. All right. So let's talk about a guy that, I don't know, like in the pre-draft process, we were looking at maybe Smith-Njigba or Quentin Johnson going as the first receiver off the board. And then as we got later in the game, it certainly seemed like Smith-Njigba was going to go ahead of Johnson, which happened. Yeah. However, Quentin Johnston gets drafted by Los Angeles, a team, and I don't have the official cap hit numbers in front of me. I should have researched it better before the show, but I just know that both the cap hit for Mike Williams and for Keenan Allen next year, they're both exorbitantly high. In fact, we heard rumors this year that maybe Keenan Allen was going to be released as a cap casualty. That didn't happen. But the fact that the Chargers soaked a top, 25 pick into Quentin Johnston this year, knowing they have Justin Herbert, knowing Kellen Moore's there, who should be a bright offensive mind to lead this offense into the future, is Quentin Johnston going to, take his lumps, but come on slow in 2023, but 2024, he'll be the sophomore breakout and he's going to have a huge target share given the futures or the potential bad futures for Williams and Allen in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that has to happen. again, going by the draft capital that they spent. And I think he's in a perfect situation if both those guys stay. I mean, not dynasty wise and not your first year, and watching him develop is going to be probably going to be a little difficult, like you said, taking taking some lumps. But I think if you have Mike Williams, who's close to his physicality, and then you have Keenan Allen, who's teaching him in the route tree, for a raw guy like that, I think it's going to be very, very helpful for him. And hopefully he can, you know, take both sides of that and really, you know, become a true number one in year two or three.
One of the things that I always look at in these rookie drafts is how do I, you know, when I'm drafting guys, like how likely is it that they have an RB one season or, you know, like a top 12 running back season, a top 12 wide receiver season. And when I look at Jordan Addison versus Quentin Johnston, it is super difficult for me to see Jordan Addison ever having that type of season in Minnesota. However, next year, depending upon who's there in Los Angeles, I could easily see Quentin Johnston having a huge season and maybe top 10, top 12 wide receiver seasons in his prime in Los Angeles. For me, it is pretty open and shut. If I'm on the board and I'm deciding between Addison and Johnston, I'm almost always going to pick Johnston. I mean, obviously, if I've been in a lot of dynasty leagues, I do want to vary it up a little bit.
Yep.
But if I'm only in one, Brian, for me, it's Johnston over Addison. Do you see it in a similar way?
I tend to agree with you. Just his physical attributes. I mean, there's nobody else on the board like him. You know, he's a freak. And you always want to get those guys and swing for the fences and go for upside if you can. You know, the drops were a very big concern, but I think, you know, he's just too good in terms of what he can do on the field, and you're not going to find that, especially in this wide receiver class. You don't have that many of the guys, you know, the tall, lanky, with the range that he has, and the speed, you know, and he has the long speed to take something to the house, and I think it's I think you can't pass that up. Like you said, you got to diversify. I think occasionally, you know, if you're talking, you have 10, 15 teams, you got to, you know, and you have an opportunity to maybe take one or two shares of Addison, you might want to. But I think I'm leaning Johnston mostly there.
And for you, having the luxury of having multiple teams, you can kind of go back and forth between.
I'm an addict.
Let's get into kind of the same philosophy here. Zay Flowers goes to Baltimore, another first-round receiver this year. But now Baltimore, and while they do have Lamar Jackson back and it feels great and that offense seems like it's ready to explode, you still have Mark Andrews, still have Rashad Bateman, and the Ravens went out and gave some serious guaranteed money to Odell Beckham. Yep. In your rookie drafts, are you comfortable letting somebody else draft Zay Flowers? Or am I too tunnel vision on 2023 when I look at Flowers' fantasy stock?
I think you have to let somebody else take him. For me, it's just a simple math problem. There's too many mouths to feed. Lamar really hasn't shown that he can feed all the mouths to begin with. So to have that many, people wanting the ball is going to be pretty difficult on a rookie wide receiver. It could definitely clear up and maybe they open up the offense and we see something new, but it's just hard to envision it happening if they stay with the same direction. Hopefully they're not. I mean, they paid all that money to Lamar that, you know, you would think that they're going to, move it more towards a passing offense and not put him in as much risk. But sometimes for him, it's going to be difficult. When he's in trouble, he's going to take off. And I think it's going to be difficult to knock that out of him in the long run. But, you know, we'll see. And I think that's going to be to the detriment of a Zay Flowers and even Bateman. I mean, we even heard the chirping by Bateman this year, you know.
Right.
And so I think it's going to be hard, and you know he's got his guy in Andrews, and maybe he can handle one other guy, but I don't think he can handle three guys for one season.
And I think what's going to be compelling this season is obviously you have Todd Monken there now instead of Greg Roman, who loves throwing the football around, and it's going to be on us as fantasy players to. In order to have success, we're going to have to get Lamar Jackson right in drafts. We're going to have to get, you know, Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, Odell Beckham right in drafts. And if we hit it at the right, you know, at the right value, then they could be, you know, really valuable for us as fantasy players this year. But the trick is, like, how much of this offense is going to move from a heavy run offense to a heavy pass offense, or will it be somewhere in the middle? That's what we got to kind of figure out. And I'm not there yet. Like, yeah. I got some more work.
But to do. It's going to be hard to tell until we see it, you know,
right.
That's going to be tough to value Flowers going into the season. And do you want to take that risk with a first round pick? You want to invest that capital, you know, do you want to have the double or triple or, you know, or the home run, which I don't know if talent wise, he is a home run. He's very athletic and speed is there, but you know, I think I'd rather take a safer bet.
You know, compared to, and we'll talk running backs, receivers, tight ends here, compared to other drafts, recent drafts, does this one seem a little bit low on talent? I mean, like, unless you have the 101 and maybe now the 102, given the draft capital that Detroit pumped into Jahmyr Gibbs, it's kind of like, man, it's just pick your guys. I don't think anybody feels pigeonholed into drafting certain guys at certain spots, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and it's a wide variety of players, and it's definitely a different one. You know, we usually go in and we have maybe there's a 1-1 like the Zeke year or whatever, but you still had four or five other guys that were pretty solid. There's dings on everybody. Once you get past Bijan, I think you can make cases for a lot of different players being in the top six. But it's just going to be like you said, you're going to have to choose your guys wisely. And, you know, once you get into the second round, you can take more risk in terms of what you want to do, because, you know, you're not, you know, using that first round pick and that capital on something, you know, that's too risky, or that is risky, but you want to maybe sometimes go for those doubles and triples as opposed to home runs, you know?
I totally agree. And do you find yourself, or do you think you're going to find yourself, Brian, in these rookie drafts when you're on the clock, that you'll be more likely, and I'll say, like, you know, after like the 105, 106, that, you know, those spots right there, you think you find yourself more likely to trade away that 107, 108, whatever it is, for a 2024 first rounder plus, given that none of these guys are very exciting? I guess the difficult thing is trying to get people to trade up for these players this year.
And that, I think that's where the value, I mean, even the startups and now in rookie drafts, the value of these first round picks has gone up. But, you know, sometimes when you want to unload one, you just got to go 108 for, which I did a few times last year, 108 just for a straight up 24 first. Don't want to do it. But, you know, if you feel strongly that you want to get out of there and kick the can down the road, you might have to do it just to get yourself out of that position. You know, I guess one of my weaknesses is to kind of look for that veteran and maybe trade the 108 for a veteran. I tend to like to go for the, you know, the 24 first, but, you know, it's to each his own how they want to handle it. But it's proving more and more difficult. I think this class is going to be case in point. You know, to get out, you're going to have to make some tough decisions or something that you think is not the value that you want. But if you don't want to take that pick, you might have to trade something back, you know, trade for something that you don't want to.
I remember back to 2020, the 2020 draft. I was sitting at, I think 107 or 108, and I didn't really like any of the players on board. And one of the teams in the league offered me straight up Deebo Samuel. And this was before Deebo Samuel's big breakup. And I was like, I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? I will take Samuel. I like what he's doing. I like what they're doing in San Francisco. I don't really like any players here. So I made the trade, I got Deebo Samuel, and that guy got the draft pick. And who did he take with that draft pick? None other than Justin Jefferson.
Justin.
And I rued the day ever since, Brian. It's just one of those things.
I moved up multiple times in that draft for Justin Jefferson.
Did you really?
Yeah. Who was the other guy in that draft? The who never made it? It was
Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, Reagor. So I always wanted both of them. I didn't want to have to choose. So I moved up probably two or three times to the 108, because that was basically where he was going. He was pretty much locked in that position. I mean, sometimes you saw him at 107 with Reagor to flip flop with Reagor, but it was right in that range. But
I remember. One of the things, the big knocks I heard on Jefferson by a lot of the draft Knicks, and was that they felt that Jefferson was just going to be a slot guy, and he's never going to be able to live on the perimeter. I remember it echoed in my mind at that time.
Yep.
We hear that about Jaxon Smith-Njigba from a lot of people this year.
Yep.
Is Smith-Njigba, I don't want to compare him to Justin Jefferson, because Jefferson's an otherworldly talent, but I feel like that Smith-Njigba could be maybe a poor man's Jefferson, because I think this guy can thrive on the outside too.
I think so too. I mean, I think when you have Garrett Wilson and Olave sitting in front of you, it might be natural that you're going to be in the slot 90% of the time. And then gets hurt last year, really weren't able to see, you know, what he could do if he was forced into the outside. So I think he's talented enough that he can definitely do it. The separation that he creates, you know, it's just, we don't have proof. And I think that hurt Jefferson too, in that draft. So I think I agree with you. I think he can do it. And I think he's going to be very solid. And that's why I have him as my first wide receiver.
The Ohio State receivers have been incredibly rich with talent over the last couple of years. Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith, and Jigba. Next year, I looked at a couple of 2024 mocks. Speaking of, you know, you being an addict, I'm sick when it comes to looking at mock drafts. Marvin Harrison Jr., I've seen him mocked in some, you know, in the top three picks, yeah, in some 2024 mocks. Plus, I was trying to find it here and I can't find it, but Ohio State has another receiver that is a first round talent next year as well. So you're talking about five guys. We're going to talk about Anthony Richardson in a second, but I'm wondering if you have any kind of trepidation about CJ Stroud, given the talent that he had around him, not only on the perimeter in the slot, but also in front of him on the offensive line. And knowing that, you know, unless they're playing Michigan or Penn State, you know, the Big Ten wasn't all that awesome as far as defenses, yeah, go. I mean, excluding probably Iowa. But how concerning is that for you if you're drafting and you're looking for a quarterback in your rookie drafts? How concerning is that to you when you're thinking about drafting CJ Stroud?
I think it's got to run through your mind. I think it's got to be pretty concerning. I mean, when's the last time that Ohio State developed a quarterback? And with all that talent around them, and the receiving core, it seems like the separation that these guys were creating was pretty easy for these quarterbacks to throw up some crazy numbers. And I think, you know, he is a product of that. I mean, you just don't know. And if he gets into the right system and gets with the right coach, you know, he can be coached to a different level. You know, the non-running is hard, although he did it at the end of the year in one of those bowl games. I guess, what was it, the Georgia game? That he kind of showed that he can run mm-hmm. a little bit. But was he pressing it and just forcing it just because of that situation? Or is it something that he's going to be willing to do on the NFL level on a regular basis? I think that always will bring you to the next level as a fantasy quarterback. And then maybe the throwing can catch up and you can start to, you know, get your feet under you in a few years.
Let's talk about Anthony Richardson now. A guy that gets drafted by the Colts, and it certainly seems like he's going to be starting from day one, unless Gardner Minshew takes over, you know, to start, and then there's some sort of transition to Richardson. But a guy that is the most prolific athletic prospect we have ever seen at quarterback in the NFL Combine, or at the NFL Combine, Brian. But there are some questions about his short-range accuracy. He does throw a really good deep ball, so that's good. But there are some questions about his short-range accuracy and, you know, how far off he is from being a even average quarterback in the NFL. It's going to take some time. If you're in a non-superflex, so just a classic dynasty, mm-hmm. where would you take Anthony Richardson in your rookie draft?
I mean, I'm probably taking him somewhere around Addison or Kincaid, probably 1-6, 1-7, 1-8 in that range. I think you can definitely make an argument. I'm not a big proponent of that. I think he is a special talent, though. So I think you can definitely make the argument. I probably won't be doing that, but, you know, that would be the range that I would, you know, start to think about it. And because I don't think there's going to be a lot on the board that's going to offer you that upside that he will. Especially if you need a quarterback, you know, I think the numbers that he's going to put up on the ground are just, I think, going to be ridiculous, especially in the first, like I said, you know, it takes those guys some time. Maybe he's just going to be a prolific runner the first year and go from there.
Do you, is he your number one quarterback then off the board?
In Superflex, yeah. Well, I guess in both, yeah.
In both, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. And is there like a pretty significant gap? Is Bryce Young your number two then? As I'm trying to crack the Vontae rankings.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it pretty?
Yeah, don't screw me up too much.
I mean, I know. I'm not trying to. Is there a pretty significant like a chasm between Richardson and Young for value for you, or are they closer than I might think?
I'd say there's a pretty big chasm just in terms of what he can just bring. You know, we've seen these guys now for years. I mean, what they can bring on the rushing side. I mean, Justin Fields, you know, I mean, came out of nowhere, but the running just puts him at a completely different level. His passing was okay. But what he could do on the ground would win you fantasy games consistently last year. So I think looking at Richardson and his skill set, you got to think that if he starts day one, he's going to do that for you. And I don't think Bryce Young's going to do that. You know, I think it's going to take him some time. You know, their weapons there aren't great. So it's just going to take a lot more time. I mean, Richardson can just create it himself. He's not going to need to care about weapons. Even though his weapons are better than what Bryce is going to have.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's talk about, I can't believe we're 20 plus minutes in. We haven't talked tight ends yet. Dalton Kincaid ended up being the first tight end off the board, ahead of Mayer, ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
How high is too high to draft Kincaid in a rookie draft? Is it 105? Is it 106?
Yeah, I would say, I would say 105 is probably the earliest you should do it. I think 106, 107 is probably the range. Right in that Addison, I would say Addison Kincaid, you know, are close for me. And I think, you know, that's the 105, 106 range for me.
You know, looking at the Bills offense now going forward, we were very worried, or a lot of people were worried about Gabe Davis and his stock going into the NFL draft. The Bills, I don't believe they took a receiver. No, they took Justin Shorter in the fifth round. I think that was it. So he kind of avoided that bullet. However, Dawson Knox is still on this team. Dalton Kincaid is should be a prolific pass catching tight end in the NFL. Mm-hmm. What do you when you look at this Bills offense now, Brian? How do you handle guys like not only Dalton Kincaid in rookie drafts, but Gabe Davis in redraft, or Dawson Knox in redraft? Because now we kind of, it's hard to wrap our heads around this Buffalo Bills offense.
I know. I've never been a fan of Gabe Davis. I've never owned him. You know, we've always gone. I mean, what was there, two seasons in a row where he had these monster playoff games, and then all of a sudden it was next season was going to be his
right.
season. He was going to be the number two, and Josh Allen was going to feed him and everything, and it never happened. And I remember getting trade offers for him, and I just like, I just can't pull the trigger, not on one or two playoff games. I just can't do it. And to come off of a season where he did it once in playoff games, then goes into the regular season and then doesn't do anything, and then goes into that playoff season, that season, and or playoff game that season, or two games, and goes crazy. And then, and you're like, oh, he's really going to do it this year. I just couldn't get on board with that. It's going to be, I mean, oh, you also have James Cook there. I mean, he could take a big chunk of the passing if they start using the running backs, you know, more in the passing game. You know, I think Kincaid's got a great opportunity with a stud quarterback to really, you know, do something. And I think that's just going to feed into Gabe Davis's, you know, his balls that he's going to be getting. I think it's only natural.
Let's go to the YouTube chat right now. The Death Dealers wants to know, Brian, do you have the same team name you use for a lot of your FFPC teams, or do you like to vary it up a little bit? Just because he's trying to put a he's trying to put your
yeah,
face.
Trying to figure out who I am.
What team name exactly? Yeah. Now you don't have to reveal it, but I don't know. I don't even know, quite frankly.
I do. I have a regular one that I use, but not for everyone, because I'm with a few different partners. Like, you've had Craig Bodemiller on, mm-hmm. And Ryan Weichel. We have some teams. Scott Munson, I do some teams with, and Alex Joyce, I do some teams with. So I gotta, because I you know, I'm always running around, so I like to have a partner, especially like, you know, during you know, setting lineups and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I do have a regular team name that I use quite a bit.
Do we? Okay, so we shouldn't reveal this then, because
I get. I mean, you can. It's a Seinfeld reference.
Yep.
Serenity Now.
Serenity Now and Sanity Later. One of the great Lloyd Braun episodes.
Yes.
And Jerry, and obviously Jerry Stiller episodes. That was tremendous. Yeah. Serenity Now. Okay. Let's get into the probably the most shocking thing that came out from the NFL draft, at least for me. Seattle gets a guy in the draft last year in Kenneth Walker, who I believe is the second running back off the board, and he is in the offensive rookie of the year conversation pretty much since, you know, he comes on. I know he's dinged up at the start of the year, but he looks awesome for the remainder of the season. They follow that up, Brian, by taking Zach Charbonnet, the Michigan transfer turned UCLA Bruin, in the second round of this year's draft. This is not only maddening for people who are excited to draft Charbonnet, but it's maddening for people who had Kenneth Walker in their dynasty leagues.
I know.
I don't know what your shares are like. I think you might have a couple of.
I got a couple Walker. Yeah.
Okay. So how do you? What are you doing with Kenneth Walker right now? And then how do you handle a guy like Zach Charbonnet in rookie drafts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to hang on to the shares. I mean, the only offers that you're going to be getting will be lowball offers. I mean, I don't think that you're going to want to, you know, give them for pennies on the dollar. You know, and when you look at Seattle's history of you know, injuries for the running back position, you can sort of see why they did it. But they were usually, you know, Carroll would always develop these guys. He never really used the capital previously. I mean, you had Rashad Penny, but before that, it was always like he was getting fourth, fifth rounders, some UDFA guys, and really, you know, doing it that way a lot of times. But I think you got to hold on to him. And I think Charbonnet's, I don't think, should not get out of the first round of a rookie mm-hmm. draft. I think you've got to look at that as a great situation. I mean, they love to run the ball, and you know, one injury and it could be you know, it could be a boon for you if you get it, if you guess right.
Is he your number three running back, or would you rather have a guy like Kendre Miller in New Orleans?
No, he's probably number three for me.
Okay, all right. All right. So Miami gets Devin Achane. They already have Jeff Wilson. They already have Raheem Mostert. I think the Dizzle, Dave Gerzak, in the HSFF hour chat on last Wednesday was saying, those guys are garbage. Get Miami a real running back, you know, and now they get Devin Achane. However, you look at him, and he's not the biggest guy in the world. Now, Kendre Miller he was a three down guy at TCU. Chicago drafted Roschon Johnson, Bijan Robinson's backup, who looks the part as far as the three-down back, definitely to be the first and second-down banger. Yep. Would you rather have a guy like Achane in a dynasty rookie draft, or would you go with a guy like Kendre Miller? Would you go with a guy like Roschon Johnson, knowing that those guys could be on the field, if given the right opportunity, they could be on the field a lot more than Achane?
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time I was on, I think you named the episode, I Like Them Big.
Yeah, it was I Like My Size.
Yeah, I like my size.
That's what
so,
it was.
You know, you could tell where I'm going to go. I do like the guys that are going to, you know, that have the opportunity to be a three down back. Although it's a dying breed in the NFL, but I want the size to be able to take the pounding. You know, the speed's nice, and to be able to take it to the house at any given moment is great. But if you can't probably get the goal line touches, it makes it difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think both those guys, Roshan
Johnson,
I think they have the ability to get those goal line carries and hopefully convert into touchdowns. I don't know if Ashane is going to getting first and goal at the one, you know.
And this goes back to our whole discussion of like, okay, is Ashane ever going to be a top five or top 10 running back, right?
Yep.
Maybe not. But who's more likely? A guy like Roshan Johnson, if he gets the opportunity, if Herbert goes down or something, and all of a sudden Johnson is getting, 15, 20 touches a game for like 6-7 weeks in a row. Yep. And that's what you're looking at there. So I happen to agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at the way Miami used the running backs last year, all of a sudden Mostert would have this monster game. And then Wilson would have a monster game the next week. I mean, right. You just didn't know. It was very frustrating. It was basically like dealing with Belichick. I mean, you just didn't know who was going to get the ball.
Let's talk about the other tight end, or the other big tight end, and that's Michael Mayer, who did not go in the first round. He goes on day two to the Las Vegas Raiders, who actually just let go of a really prolific tight end to the New York Giants. Darren Waller is now in New York. Michael Mayer, the tight end successor, as it appears to us in Las Vegas. Is he going to start producing like Darren Waller? Maybe not in 2023, because that's very difficult for a rookie tight end to do.
Yeah.
But can we look at it as soon as 2024 that this guy is actually going to be a top 10 tight end in the NFL?
I mean, I think it's possible. The 4.7 speed is concerning. I mean, I think comparing him to Darren Waller are two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because Darren Waller is such a freak. What was he, 6'6", 255, and ran a 4.45 or something? I mean, it's just
roughly. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So I think that might be a little bit of a stretch, but look, I mean, being top 10, I think it's very doable. I mean, in today's NFL, I mean, we don't really have that many tight ends. So if he gets some sort of, bump in production in terms of how many balls he's getting in target share, I don't see why not. I just think he's more of Heath Miller, which isn't bad. But I don't think he's Darren Waller type where he can really take over something or, something like Travis Kelce. I think he doesn't quite have that for me.
Michael Mayer is still in your first round of FFPC rookie drafts, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. How much further down, and we'll get to my Packers here. How much further down in your dynasty rookie rankings is a guy like Tucker Kraft out of South Dakota State, who the Packers took in the third round, 78th overall pick? How much further down is he from his Packers teammate, his new Packers teammate, in Luke Musgrave, a guy that Green Bay took 36 picks earlier in the second round at pick 42? How close are these guys in your rankings?
I mean, it's probably, in terms of tight ends, probably two or three or four, something more in that range. But I think it's a perfect, for me at least, an arbitrage situation where, I might be taking Kraft and, just waiting for Musgrave to go and then taking Kraft after that. I mean, they both had some pretty big injury concerns. And I think Kraft is the more natural pass catcher. You look at Baltimore back in that draft when they took Hayden Hurst and they took Mark Andrews. There were a lot of times in those drafts in the second round, I was just taking, people were taking Hayden Hurst in the late first of rookie drafts. And, you could just sit there in the early second round and take Mark Andrews late second round. And it became, a very good opportunity, obviously, over the last few years.
Packers definitely love to, I should say Matt LaFleur. I mean, he comes from a couple of teams that used a lot of 12 personnel, and now they finally have their two tight ends in Musgrave and Kraft. So we can see that a lot. I don't know. And we're not really, I mean, we could touch on this a little bit. I wish there was some way to check on this, but the average age of receivers on any NFL team, the Packers, this year's Packers, man, they gotta be like top three all time youngest.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like, who's the most experienced guy there. And I think it's Romeo Doubs. who played like 12 games last season. Yeah. Like Watson missed all that time. Samori Toure, their seventh round pick last year, that was a guy that didn't see the field. And now they go with three more receivers in this draft. They get DeBose and they get Jaden Reed and they get, who's the other guy I'm forgetting here? Dontavian Wicks out of Virginia. So they get, I mean, yes, these guys have talent, but man, they're so green. Your thoughts on just not necessarily for dynasty purposes, but just, well, you could answer it for dynasty purposes. Packers receivers, is it Christian Watson and then kind of everybody else, or is there another guy that you like there?
I mean, I like Dobbs. I mean, he showed a little bit before he got hurt. You know, it's difficult for any Packer young wide receiver with Aaron Rodgers there. You know, Jordan Love's going to have to trust somebody. So the ball's got to go somewhere. I think the tight ends are going to take a little bit of time to develop. So it could be the Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs show for a little bit, and maybe Aaron Jones out of the backfield as a safety net. But I think Dobbs is an interesting case to see. I mean, I'm not rushing out and giving up a first round pick for the guy, but mm-hmm. I think, you know, if he's maybe he got cut. And when we went down to 16, and you can jump in there and maybe take him in the second round of a rookie draft. I mean, I don't think that's unimaginable.
Final question for you, Brian, tonight is I've learned so much, as I always do when we talk. You're very welcome. A sleeper in your rookie drafts, a player not a whole lot of people are talking about. You know, you just brought up the Mark Andrews thing with Hayden Hurst. I think Andrews would qualify for that year's draft. Is there a player, doesn't have to be a tight end, that would fit that bill this year? Maybe Tucker Kraft is that guy.
It actually is a tight end.
Let's hear it.
Laporta.
Laporta.
I think it's. I think it's an interesting landing spot. You have a tight end, former tight end coach. I was shocked that they dealt away T.J. Hockenson. I don't know what the problem there was. It didn't seem like a money thing. I mean, they got a good haul for him, but you know, you would think that Dan Campbell would want to be using the tight end, more than they did at the second half of the season when they got rid of Hockenson. It's a high powered offense. I mean, they invested a lot more into the offense, you know, this draft. So there might not be enough to go around for Laporta, but maybe in a year or two, he could be someone that you look back and maybe he's a, you know, top 12, tight end. Which, you know, again, like we said before, it's very difficult to find these days.
The Lions made rookie drafts so much more fun this year because they trade up for Gibbs, right? Or they didn't trade up, they traded down, and then they took Gibbs at the 12th spot. And then they took Sam Laporta. They could have had Michael Mayer. They chose Sam Laporta over Mayer, which made Laporta the number two tight end, which is going to – that's going to be a fun little wrinkle.
And you know, I think it's significant that a coach who was, again, a former tight end did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that he would know how to rate these guys and know what he's looking for.
Yeah, exactly. It could have. And like, I don't know the decision to trade Hockenson. I don't know if Campbell had a hand in that or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is just I'm jumping the gun here, but maybe Campbell thought like, well, I can coach up the tight ends we have here. And we can get some really great draft capital for Hockenson. And then that half season without Hockenson, like, maybe we should invest one of these, some of this draft capital into one of these tight ends. They get Laporta. We talked about Zay Flowers. It sounds like you're going to let somebody else draft him. Is there anybody else that you are fading in this year?
Probably, you know, Josh Downs. I'm not going to take, a chance on him. I don't think it's a bad spot necessarily, but I, you know, his size and he's not Devontae Smith. I mean, he's not the Biletnikoff winner. Devontae, I think, could get away with that. I'm not sure if Josh Downs and the capital that they used on him wasn't significant like Devontae Smith. So I think it tells you all you need to know. I'm probably going to let somebody else draft him. I know that's late in the draft and it probably doesn't mean much, but I got to keep a few secrets.
Yeah, and that's fine. Listen, I'm glad you're sharing anything tonight. Anytime we can get that.
I appreciate your time.
Josh Downs, do you think that he is he going to cannibalize Michael Pittman at all, given that these guys, you know, are both kind of target hogs, or at least Downs was a target hog last year?
I think it's very possible. I was expecting more out of Pittman last year, to be honest with you. I was mm-hmm. a little miffed about his sometimes his lack of production. But again, if Richardson's going to start immediately, I think it's going to hurt both of them really. And you know, we'll see if Richardson can develop a rapport with these guys. Hopefully they get together early in our throwing in minicamp and before and get the feel for each other.
The Colts, I mean, Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman are now the grizzled veterans there.
I know.
You have Anthony Richardson and Josh Downs, Will Mallory, tight end that they drafted in the fifth round as well. It's so much fun. Dynasty fantasy football is so much fun.
And
I'm so glad we got a chance to hook up tonight. Listen, Brian, good luck in all your rookie drafts. I hope you enjoy them. Good luck in all your dynasty leagues. Good luck in all your leagues this year. Remember, if things aren't going your way and you've had it up to here, serenity now. Best piece of advice.
Or you just do a startup. One of the
two. Or a new startup. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, God, this rookie draft's terrible. I'm going to get in a startup. Yeah. And thank you so much, dude. Be good. We will see you again soon.
Yep. Sounds good. Great to see you.
Thanks. Absolutely. You bet. Brian Valenti, ladies and gentlemen, a 12-time FFPC High Stakes Dynasty Champion joining us on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown tonight. Certainly appreciate everything he had to offer. Learned a lot, as we always do on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, and that will complete this evening's show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as a couple of notes here. Number one, we have the Fantasy Pros Championship going off right now. $1 million grand prize, just $350 to enter, and you are looking at a early bird discount or early bird promo right now, where if you register by June 1st, draft by June 15th, you will have the opportunity to get a $35 free FFPC team into your account. You do it up to three times, that's three free FFPC teams. So not only are you getting the $50 discount on the three pack of Fantasy Pros teams, but you're also getting over $100 worth of FFPC free teams into your account. It's a fantastic deal, but time is running out on that. It's already May 2nd. You got to be able to register for these leagues by June 1st. We talked a lot of Dynasty Fantasy Football tonight. My apologies if you don't play FFPC Dynasty, because you're not going to have the opportunity to participate in these rookie drafts in 2023. However, with all the Dynasty Maiden drafts, all the Dynasty startups we have going on right now at myffpc.com, you'll not only be able to enjoy a Dynasty startup draft, you know, via a 8-hour clock as far as you know, building your team and trading for picks on the clock, you'll be able to enjoy your rookie drafts next year after the 2024 NFL draft as well. MyFFPC.com is your home for high-stakes Dynasty Fantasy Football, as well as the orphans that we still have available there. All of them are $1, except for there's one team, a 750 team, that's $25. You can play Dynasty Fantasy Football year-round for a dollar. There's 1250 teams on there that you can pick up for a dollar. It's a fantastic value right now. Make sure you're registering for that at myffpc.com. The Dynasty starters, by the way, are starting off at the $100 level, and we go all the way up to $5,000. If you follow Theo Greminger on Twitter, at the OG Fantasy, he's been tweeting out some picks out of a $5,000 Dynasty startup draft that's going on with the FFPC right now. So check that out. Remember, if you want to play in a best ball league, you can do that too. Just $5 is all you need to play at the FFPC for a Dynasty or for a standard best ball league. And you can play in the slims, the 20 round drafts, the 28 round drafts with the kickers and defenses. You can do that as well. And of course, we're going to be we're already taking registrations for the main event this year. If you are in by May 31st, you'll be entered into the Pros versus Joes drawing, which we'll be covering right here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour on this FFPC YouTube channel coming up in July and early August. So make sure you're getting your name into the drawing by registering for your main event team, and maybe you're going to become the next FFPC millionaire. You never know. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share the video and get notified. Like I said, we got a ton of stuff going on with the FFPC YouTube channel this week. So tonight we did the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown with Brian Valenti. Then Thursday night, we are going to go live as well as on bettersports.com. Pat Fitzmaurice from Fantasy Pros is going to join me. We're going to chop it up with rookie drafts and dynasty and everything that the NFL draft has created for us as fantasy players to try to figure out how we can get the best possible value for all our dynasty picks and in redraft as well as dynasty. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That is 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock on bettersports.com as well as the FFPC social media channels Thursday night. Then Friday night, Aiden LaCorey will and I will have live pick-by-pick coverage of the Genesis and Revelations drafts. Ah, yes. Remember when these were the first drafts of the season? Not anymore, but it's still a lot of fun. We got a lot of the same competitors, a lot of great high-stakes players that play in those Genesis and Revelations leagues. We're going to be giving pick-by-pick analysis from 10 o'clock, from 9 o'clock. We start an hour early this Friday night, from 9 o'clock until roughly 11 o'clock. Probably 9 to 11 that night. And that'll be myself and Aiden LaCorey. That's Friday night. And then Sunday night, Aiden will be back on the FFPC YouTube channel with Dave Terpoli as they cover a live FFPC best ball tournament draft, where those guys and women are all plunking down $125 to try to win a $200,000 grand prize. What a time to be a fantasy football fan, right? For Brian Valenti, I want to thank you for joining us on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown tonight. Thank you so much. Be good, and we will talk with you again Thursday night.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 10% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.